Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. We want to know how you're doing. How was your week? What's your testimony for the week? What has God done for you that when you sit back right now and think about it, you can think of so many things. More than you probably can remember of the things that God has done for you this past week. But there's always a few that stands out. And they don't have to be big things. Everything is a big thing with God. I'll tell you that, because if God's doing something for you, you better believe it's working together for your good. So I don't mean to minimize anything. But, you know, sometimes when people would go and look for a parking space, and they'd be like, oh, Holy Spirit, you know, when I get there, find me a parking space. And you get there, and the parking space is right there. You'd be like, oh, my God, thank you for the parking space. You know, that might be a small thing to some people, but it may play a big part in the overall scheme of things. Because if you'd park someplace else, someone could have fired a gun and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or someone could have opened that door and dent your door. Or you could have just been beside the wrong person that cursed you out for the day. And, you know, everything works together for the good. So there's no small thing. Everything is relevant. And when you ask, you receive. So I say thank you for joining us this morning. It is absolutely our pleasure to come in on Saturday mornings and share the word of the Lord. I mean, he's always telling us something wonderful to say. And when I say us, I'm talking about my co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler, that take their time to serve the Lord with me on Saturday morning. We get up, you know, some people minister on Sundays and Tuesday nights and Thursday nights and what have you, but God chose us to minister on Saturday morning. So I get up on Saturday morning to preach the word, and I have my two deaconettes that comes in with me. Good morning, Cynthia.
Oh, child, that's a big one to put on me. Deaconess. got to change a lot to live up to that title. But good morning, good morning, audience. Good morning, Deborah. How are you, Dr. B? I am good to go. Thank you so much. I am good to go.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Deaconess.
Yes, ma'am.
They must have scared her. She must have went and hid.
Good morning, Deaconess. Deborah speaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'm running from that title. No,
big shoes. Big shoes are filled up.
Yeah. I love it.
You know, hey, it's big shoes to fill, period, just to be able to serve the Lord. You know, you have shoes. Every day I'd be walking in these shoes and I'd be like, these are like a 10. I wear 8. Now, what's going on? I'm walking around in these big shoes. Yeah.
Well, you know what I say. Well, you know what I say about shoes. Real women wear 10s.
That's a personal opinion, but you know.
It is.
But I tell you, I'm flopping around in. I'm trying to figure out, okay, what can I feel these shoes, Lord? Can I feel these shoes? Anyway, it's good to hear from y'all. So anyway, let's start with you, Deborah. What was your week like?
Wow, it was amazing how you said the little things, that we should thank God for, because I had an opportunity to go to a Christmas party from one of the agencies we partnership with. And, you know, so I had a day off, you know, got paid for the day, hung out with the boss, met a whole lot of people, had some good food, and we was by the, we got a Marriott, so we had the beachside or the oceanside view right there. And so it was just really refreshing to sit outside and eat. Just a little thing, like you say, you know. And I so needed that one day off, you know, just to do that, because I don't know the last time I've been by the water. So, you know, I just, want to say I enjoyed my week, my day especially. Thank you, Lord, for the little thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. You got the Marriott sitting by the beach and having a nice meal and good company. I mean, that's life right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good life, my Lord. I can't wait to get to the beach and sit down and look at the water. Cynthia?
Mm-hmm.
You know how we do it. You know, for us as an organization, and we never leave a meeting unless we go and recap and have that time together, as far as having a meal and just being thankful that we're together and working together on one accord, that whatever the job calls for, we're always there to say thank you. And that's what I'm grateful for with the organization. And I got to do that, like Deborah, last night. I went to the Christmas party at my supervisor's home, and she was just she's a different animal in her own environment. And so we had a really good time, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve people in the capacity that I'm serving, because God knows it's not something that I saw in my future, counseling somebody. But I'm just growing to be just thankful that I'm being used in such a way that hopefully lives are being changed if I just plant one seed every day to one person to change their lives. And people show you that they're appreciative. You get the calls back and they say they thank you for what you're doing. It means a lot when you get that second call from whoever you attempted to talk off the ledge or help, and they found their way for one more day.
Wow.
For just one more day. And so that's what I'm grateful for right now, and the fact that we have this opportunity as an organization, and when we work outside in other organizations to help people, that's what I'm grateful for today, because to be used by God to serve people, it is the greatest reward, and I'm just grateful today for that, and not shying away from the call that God has on my life, even though I want to so much a lot of days, because I just think that I'm an F, but I know the Holy Spirit that lives within me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so when I can get there and say something to encourage somebody, I'm good.
Amen.
Thank you for that. And how was your day, your week?
My week was good. A lot of things accomplished, did some work and realized that I too have the strength of the Lord, that when difficulties came up in certain areas, I would just say, Lord, you know, Jesus, I can do this through you. And it would just happen. So Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this because I need some strength here. And it would just happen. And that's been my week of just actually not worrying about it. Whenever it comes up, I said, I need some help. And I'm telling you, he shows up.
Absolutely.
So a lot of good things happened this week. I'm feeling really good about where we are now with the organization and the vision that God has placed in our hearts to do. And now it's just like I can see on the road that I'm traveling on, where before it was like I was kind of on the sideline, almost in the ditch, but now I'm on the side of the road, and one foot on the road, one foot off. But I'm on the road, and I just see, because, you know, God is not going to give you everything. He's just going to give you a little bit along and along. I wouldn't be able to take everything if he gave it to me anyway. So I'm just amazed at the reveal and the information that he's shown me each day as I go through the day. Do this, do that, do this. And it's very quiet, very subtle, and very direct. Call him and tell him this. That. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Because, you know, I keep telling them, I'm just a little girl.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do this. And so you're my father. Hmm. Jesus is my big brother, my savior. And you said the Holy Spirit, I need help. I'm just a little girl. So I imagine myself as 5 years old. And I look at God, because I can remember talking to him at age five. So I went back to that. And I imagine myself as 5 years old. To my parents, I'm just a little girl that need instructions and help and guidance. And he said, unless you be like a child. So I convert back to my five-year-old, and I tell him, I'm just 5 years old, and I need help.
Amen.
I don't know how to do it. And that makes it a lot easier for me to stay in my place as a child. And then God is able to reveal to me things that he wants to reveal to me, because I'm not trying to act like I'm an adult. I'm on his level. So anyway, that's some of the learning curves for me this week, and that's blessed me and has allowed me to bless other people. But my week this week was pretty much like it is every week. I don't talk about the things that God have me do, the assignments that he send my way, because a lot of times, you know, it's just not something that you talk about. But I love it when someone call and I pray with them, or we talk like you say, talk somebody off the ledge. I've been doing that this week. And, you know, being a counselor and a Christian counselor, you know, you're always telling them what God said about the situation. And that has been my blessing. And that's what I do in the daytime when people say, well, I don't want to bother you. You're not bothering me. I work for the Lord. I'm here 24 hours a day. I have people call me at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I get up. I talk to them, talk them off the ledge, do whatever we need to do, pray. And I go back to sleep. I don't have a problem, because I know that is my assignment. I know that's my job. And I had a young lady said to me this week that she was saying, I don't think I'm doing enough for you, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. Am I on the right track? And da, 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 da. And I told her, I said, well, you know, that's normal, because that's what happened to me. I had to go back and say to God even last week, I said, well, Lord, I just want to make sure now I'm not missing you in some areas, you know. So we always have to go back, mothers and daughters, and check just to see if we're on the right track. Because it's so easily to be convinced in your intro conversations about something, and then before you know it, you believe it. And once you believe it, then it becomes real. And she said that the Lord showed her that you are sent to minister to people as far as assisting them, to help people. In whatever way, and I send people to you because then you help them. And she started thinking about all the people that, you know, she's helped along the way, even back, you know, when the kids were small. And she said, you know, that's when I realized, wow, I am doing something. So we are doing something every day. If we don't do nothing but just smile at somebody, God will take your lips and pull them back just to smile at somebody, to give them some peace in their heart and their mind, and you don't even have to know them. So God is willing to use your body, mothers and daughters, if you just would allow him. He would just have you say hello to somebody in the grocery line, and they just make their day because nobody has said hello to them. Nobody has even looked their way. But when you say, hello, how are you doing today? I'm just fine. Well, thank you for asking. You know, you hear people say, thank you for asking. They really mean that. So anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. That was my week.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know what, that's the goodness of the Lord. And when you can recognize that you're making a difference in people's lives, you can go off on a tangent, but it's a tangent that people need to hear, because even now in this season of Christmas, people seem to be a little bit more nicer. How much better the world would be if we can just be stay in that mode of that giving mode and that kindness mode year long, you know? And so the tangent is a good tangent, so you're good.
Thank you. Deborah, let me see. Who did the prayer last time? Whoever want to pray? Y'all want to do the prayer?
Go ahead. And then we'll... Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay. Father, we just come before you to say thank you. We say thank you for waking us up, allowing us to have our senses regulating and our hearts beating with the blood flowing. We thank you for life. We thank you for being in our right mind. We thank you for being on the space where we can come and worship and praise and talk about you. We thank you for the platform. We thank you for all that you do. And we ask you to forgive us for the times that we complain about things and situations. Lord, forgive us, for we know not what we do. So help us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for you being God, for you being merciful, for you showing us grace, Lord, giving us what we need to travel this journey. We thank you for counting us faithful to do this work in your way.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Got an interesting topic today, ladies. The Lord, you know, of course, comes up with these topics, and I get amazed at it because I was like, Lord, you can come up with some stuff. Well, today our topic is mothers and daughters. Just imagine. Just imagine. I'm going to give you my side of the story, and I'll come back and pick you guys up, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yes, mothers and daughters out there, our topic this morning is just imagine. Just imagine. You know, it's so amazing. You know, and the Holy Spirit was telling me about that this morning. I said, just imagine. He said, yeah, just imagine. Just imagine, Bessie. Just imagine. I want you to get that. Say it. Just imagine. Say it again. Just imagine. Say it again. Just imagine. And you should feel something. Because I feel it. Should feel the Holy Spirit moving around. For those who don't recognize, you feel something in your stomach. Because you're stirring them up. Your imagination. When we talk about imagination, most times people use it in a way that it's not beneficial or good, because the imagination can be manipulated by Satan. And the imagination is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's effortlessly used in a way that you don't realize that you're using your imagination to create something. It's just a part of who you are. It's a part of your being. The imagination is just like the air you breathe. It's there. You can't stop it, but you can control it. The air you breathe, you can't stop the air, but you can control it. You can decide, I want to breathe no more air, and you're out of here. There's always a choice. You have to decide. That's why he said, in one hand, I give you life. In the other hand, I give you death. Now you choose. And then he said, now I'm going to try to help you out just a little bit now. What I suggest is that you choose life. Because when you choose life and it comes with more abundance. So now we're talking this morning about the imagination. I just want you to think back. Everything that you have ever created on this earth came through your imagination. It is a tunnel in which everything must pass through before it comes to your reality. I've told people many times that my father-in-law coined the phrase, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And when I was talking to him about that, you know that was God that delivered that message, because he was a very spiritual man, to just put it out there for the people. And it traveled and still traveling to this day. But people would say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You don't hear it quite as often as you used to. It seems to me I hear it less since he passed away. But it was his badge to carry, to let people know. You don't want to waste your mind. What is your mind? Your mind is your imagination. It is equipped with your imagination. A woman started imagining as a little girl what she wants to be. As a little girl, she's playing with her doll babies, or some toy, or some instrument, and she imagined herself being a mother. And she talks to that doll baby as if that's her child. And she mimics what she hears her mother says to her. Because she remembers she doesn't have any information except for what she's seen or experienced in her little short lifetime. So she's 5 years old and she's imagining. She's dressing the baby and she's telling the baby, no, we're going to do this and we're going down and we're going to do that. I'm going to put your dress down and we're going to tea and we're going to have tea and we're going to have some cookies. And she gets the cookies and the tea out and she just imagined that. And then she imagined, you know, putting the clothes on the baby. And she imagined the baby going to school and she imagined teaching the baby. And then she imagined, you know, when she get up and her friends, and she imagined she gets to go like a big sister out with her friends. And she imagined that she's dating, and then she imagined that she meets her right man, and she marries, and then she has a family, and then she starts the process with a real baby, and she imagined that she's working, and, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on. Everything travels through your imagination. That's why God said, without a vision, the people will perish. The vision is your imagination. Your imagination revealed through a vision. And you see it on your mind's eye. And you feel it in your belly. And then it becomes real to you. You can't have anything without first imagining it, seeing it, and you got to feel it. If you don't feel it, it can never be created. I coined the phrase, your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, which is your imagination, through your imagination. And your visions create your reality. If you don't like where you are today, you simply change what you say, because it starts with the word. All creation, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He spoke it with the word. The word was spoken, but can you imagine? He first saw it before he called it into existence. He saw it through his imagination. He saw Bessie. He said, you know, I got to meet a need. I need someone that I can gather up mothers and daughters, because there's going to be a point in time where the world is going to be so distraught. The world is going to be so confused. Everybody's scattered like the wind. And I'm going to need my mothers to bring it back together again. I'm going to need mothers to come back to the place where I intended them to be, to hover over the family like the Holy Spirit hovers over us. Just, he's above us, just watching and protecting us and, you know, directing us. And, you know, a mother hovers over her child. You, I don't care how old they are, your spirit is still above their head. They're always on your mind. And you imagine them doing well. You imagine them being healed. You say, I'm praying for them. But you're praying because you're praying through what? Your imagination. You're praying through what you see that you want them to be. And you will do that until you feel something. And when you get that feeling, you'll be like, oh, thank you, Lord. All is well. We're not good until we feel it. So if you're praying about something and it's not manifesting right now, you just hold on to it till you feel it. You can't have it till you feel it. Your feeling is your faith. Your feeling, when you feel it, you say, thank you, God, because you know then for sure it's real. Don't get up too fast from the prayer. Don't get up too fast from not waiting to hear what God has to say. You done ran your mouth for 20 minutes. And you're okay, thank you, God, and you get up and you walk away. Well, you didn't give him chance to speak back to you. You just dropped all your garbage on him and walked away. I was listening to a gentleman this week, and he said, take 10 minutes. 10 minutes is not a long period of time. I wish I could take just 10 minutes. I do hours, 4 o'clock in the morning on to whenever, 1 o'clock in the day, just whenever I decide or when the Spirit decides to let me rest. But he said, take 10 minutes and just be still. Don't say nothing. And when a thought comes into your head or your mind, said, cast it down, put handcuffs on it, throw it away, and just sit there for 10 minutes and listen, and you're going to hear God is going to speak some amazing things to you. He said, God showed him that. He said, and I do it every day. Just 10 minutes, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to make myself listen. Don't go talking. Don't say nothing. Just sit there. You'll be surprised what God will say to you for that day. And I know that to be true. Because I'll sit at my altar. And it's amazing. You know, God, he'll talk to you. Even if you're running around, he'll talk to you. But he's talking about respect. Just out of respect. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to sit and listen. Because we're children. You have to remember, we're not who we think we are. We think we are some adults, and that we are too old for this and that and the other. We are still children to God. He's still the Father. You're still 5 years old. Unless you can be like a child, you'll miss it. Because the enemy want to beat you down with the mistakes that you've made. Oh, you know, God is never going to forgive. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your sins are taken care of. All your iniquities are taken care of. All your debts are taken care of. Everything that you could have thought of or done wrong is taken care of. Your health, your wealth, your prosperity. And you're given all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, happiness, kindness, forgiveness. You got joy, goodness. And then he gives you grace and mercy. He gives you a measure of faith. And he tells you, I'm going to give you wisdom. But now when I give you wisdom, now you got to stick around so you can get the understanding. Because you can have the wisdom, but you don't have the understanding, then it's not going to make sense. You'll never get the feeling. You get the feeling when you understand it. So you got your wisdom and you get the understanding. That's when you rest. Because now it makes sense. How many times have you read a Bible verse? Many, many times. But then one time you read it and then all of a sudden there's an understanding. Oh my God, I never really thought about it like that. You know, you felt it. You felt in your spirit that something that settled it. And now it's settled. Nobody can tell you that's not right. Nobody can tell you you don't know the Lord. Nobody can tell you that miracles are not real. Nobody can tell you that the enemy will come after you. Because you know better. You've experienced something. You felt something. That which you feel becomes real. So in your imagination, you imagine your home looking a certain way. You see it in your mind's eye before you even begin to decorate. You put your color scheme together, you see that. Then you start thinking, well, I want this over here, that over there. I think I want to throw a little clock here. I think maybe I'll, you know, do some additional pictures over here. What kind of theme do I want? And once you get the theme, then you start thinking, but you start feeling that thing. You start seeing it, and you can just feel it. And it feels so good when you finish. You just want to sit and look at it because it feels good. Get you a cup of coffee, sit back, and look at how pretty it is. Wow, this is exactly what I had in my mind. And here it is in my place, everything in place just like I imagined it. So what am I saying? You've got to use your imagination to achieve anything that you want. So now, if you just go to Google, you can go to the Bible. That's the right place to go. But I'm talking to people that the Lord is telling me this morning, there's a lot of people that don't read the Bible. And don't feel bad about it, because a lot of us didn't read the Bible before we start reading the Bible, if that makes sense to you. There's a point in time where you just start reading the Bible. There's a point in time when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, I'm changing my life. I want to know what he had to say. So you start seeking the Bible. The Holy Spirit will start leading you. Read the Bible. That's how you're going to find out what Jesus said. That's how you're going to find out how to communicate with God. Because Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say, and I'm only going to do what the Father tells me to do. So whatever you see me do, you know if you see me, you see the Father. And to do that, you just ask Jesus to come live in your heart. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. And when you say forgive you for your sins, that means you're repenting. Repentance means to turn, to not do those things again. Once you've been forgiven for something, you don't want to go back and do that again because you haven't repented. To repent is to not do it again. Now, you may make some more mistakes, which we will do every day. And don't beat yourself up because you're not going to be perfect except through Christ. You've got to depend on him. And then you ask him to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives, and I'm telling you, that's when you'll see the major difference. You'll be peaceful when everything around you looks crazy. You want to understand, how in the world do I do this? I'm so peaceful. Normally I'd be crying and sweating and worried and, you know. But when you really are a child of God and you really got the Holy Spirit, you'll know it. Because you don't get upset. You don't worry. You don't fret and cry and have a tantrum like a little kid. You know, we are children, but God don't want you to have a tantrum because that don't show him that you believe in him. So now you're moving into a whole different arena. And now, once you've done all that, I suggest that you get someone to baptize you because you must be baptized. A simple way for me when I'm talking to some of my clients so that it don't scare them away. Most people like Google. You tell them Google it or go to YouTube. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can Google this. Oh, yeah, I can. And it doesn't seem as hard, especially when a person is raised up and not going to church and don't know anything about the Bible. You don't want to scare them away. So you want to meet them in a place where they are comfortable. So I tell them, go to Google and Google whatever question you want to ask. Like this morning, I Googled, what did the Bible say about imagination? And I have 35 different Bible verses here that can tell you about imagination. And the one thing that I'm going to talk about is the Corinthians 10:5. It says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, you can Google that and you'll get 35. You can get as much as you want. You can go to the Bible, and it is Bible verses. Or you can go to YouTube and put in there imagination. You'll get sermons. You'll get messages. The word of God is still valid, whether you're getting it through Google, whether you're opening up a Bible with it written in on the pages, whether you're seeking it through YouTube, whether whatever way, as long as it repeats what God said word for word in the Bible verse, it is the same word. But imagination, just imagine yourself, mothers, being the mother that you want to be. Imagine having the relationship with your daughter, the type of relationship, loving, trusting, forgiving relationship. If you're not experiencing that, then just imagine that. You don't have to beat your daughter down. Daughter, you don't have to beat your mother down. You just cast down all those negative conversations, cast down all those negative images that comes into your head that's telling you your mom don't love you, she loved the other children better than she loves you, or your mom not doing what you want and you think, oh, well, she just don't care. Well, moms have issues too, and they're living life too. But you can create the life you want with your mother. You can create the life you want with your daughter. All you got to do is believe. The Wizard of Oz, She was home all alone, never left home, but her imagination took her on a journey. And finally, someone said, click your heels three times, Dorothy. Three times. You ever notice people do three times, three this, three that? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just imagine where you want to be and believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you realize you were there all alone. All right, Deborah?
Deaconess is here.
All right.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, imagine. You know, I was sitting here so in tune with what you were saying, I forgot to do some notes. I was like, I need to be listening today. I mean, I was like, I just started like, oh, hey, God, yeah, hey, God, can bring it back, because I, you know, but I'm telling you, I just have a little to share, just, you know, whatsoever we pray for, you know, God is saying, if you can imagine in your spiritual realm, if you could see it in the spirit, you speak it into existence, into the natural, but you got, like you say, you got to imagine. Or you gotta see yourself as being in that space that you want to be. If it's a space, or if it's a situation, or a type of spiritual traits that you want to inherit. Because a lot of times I say to myself, I want to be more of a leader. I want to be more of a whatever. And I see myself and you know. God is amazing, because it's like I was reading the other day on the Bible, and I got stuck right there, and it was so good. Like you say, he'll talk to you, and I was just sitting there, and it was just so good. I just couldn't get past the little six scriptures, and I was saying, this is good, God. Oh, God, this is be like God. Say, hey, I'm God, you know. No, it's good. You would miss it out. Or this hill, you know, I read it a couple times, you know, but it was like, I got it right now. Wisdom and understanding. You know, being wise is not just being wise. You got to know how, like King Solomon said, Lord, he said, what you wish, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. I want to know how to judge between the people. I want to know how to be able to discern some stuff, not just have it just fall off my lips and it ain't doing nothing. I need to know how to, in other words, to judge, to be able to, you know, be able to do the right thing, to make me wise and understand how to use the wisdom, you know. So I asked God, I love the book of Proverbs, because I asked God, I said, Lord, can you teach me how to deal with us, meaning human people? Because I realized that people say, even I've been guilty of saying, oh, this place get on my nerves, this place, this building, or this, and then I go back and I say, well, this place is a building. It ain't touching me. It ain't doing me nothing. It's not the place. It's the people that's in the place that's operating in the place. The spirits is operating in the people in the place. And so I said, okay, God, teach me how to deal with us so that I may know how to make the right decisions. Because I realize that some of us going to pass and go, but we're still going to have humans on earth. I might leave, but it's still going to be humans on earth until that time. And so I asked God to teach me how to understand the human nature and to be a spiritual creature in a human body, you know. And I say to God, I'm willing to be used. And I see myself, you know, imagining myself as being able to rightly decide and divide the wisdom that he gives me. How to respond to people. For example, you're in the grocery store. You see the lady at the front is standing there. there's going to be a chance for me to have a conversation with the person that's behind me or the person that's in front of me, because you can see that they're getting a little irritated. I might be a little irritated, but I'm trying not to show it because I'm representing Christ. You know what I mean? I'm not quite like that in the grocery store. But I got a little more control because God helps me. But the person next to me is clearly showing that they're getting agitated. So now here's my opportunity to use some wisdom in a situation that can really get ugly in a matter of seconds because of people with no patience, people with no tolerance, people with no love, people with no understanding, people that got a busy, busy life and got so much going on after the grocery store that they can't wait the extra 2 minutes because somebody having some malfunction going with their car or at the top of the line or whatever. And then so what helps me is there's days that I held the line up and I have to see myself as maybe I'm that person and I will want you to be long-suffering with me. I will want you to be gentle and patient with me. And so now my job is to talk the people I'm next to off the ledge without letting them know that I'm talking them off the ledge. And I'll say something about the weather or something that might be a piece of candy on the counter. You know, they always got something to charm you with at the counter. There's a whole lot of conversation you can have at the counter. And I noticed that it works. The people's mind get all being agitated and frustrated, and they start getting into the conversation. You'd be surprised how people look for just small talk conversation. How you, like you say, a smile made their day because they was clearly getting worked up. It was finna get ugly, you know? And so God allows me. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I see it coming. I see people booing. And like I say, I might be short, a little patient, but I got a little more control. And so I was, okay, God, you're going to teach us all right now how we're going to be patient because this could be me at the line with my different pen, all my different pens I got. They're all mixed up trying to outsmart the people's, but outsmart myself because I can't remember what the pen is. But I imagine myself in that position, and I would want people to be gentle with me and patient with me. And so it helps me, and it shows me that there is room for growth and that I can be all he called me to be, and that if I speak those things into existence and believe, I shall receive. Be comes before are. Believe, you shall receive. Imagine that you are what God called you to be. Imagine because God says, I made you fearfully and wonderfully. I made you in my image. When I made you, double, I throw the way to make them. I made you only like you. Can't nobody beat you at being you. So be who I call you to be. Encourage people and inspire people. Even when you ain't 100% up the par, I can still use you. Amen. Even in the grocery store. You so imagine that you already who I call you to be. Walk into that purpose. Walk into that space that I call you to be. Imagine, just don't look back at the word the man was preaching this morning. I put it on mute. He says, hey, getting past your past. Let your past be your past. Move on. There's people hurting and dying and need a word of encouragement, a smile, a gentle touch, a hug, or a hallelujah, a wave. You know, it's just opportunities for us to be all he called us to be. And so I just thank God for allowing me to show, you know, this twist here of, you know, imagining that I'm there, not waiting on me to get perfect, not waiting on me to be all that he called me to be, but be who I am in the moment and let God use me until I get where I see myself spiritually coming to be in the natural. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
And, you know, it's amazing. That's exactly what you were talking about, what he told me this morning. Imagine, tell them to imagine that they, who they are in me. And I missed that whole part, but he came right back and told you, so you told it. I said, well, Lord, look at you. I missed it, but you brought it through Deborah. Just imagine who you are, who God created you to be. Spend time on that. That really will take up some of your time and keep you out of other people's business. Because it's going to take all your time to figure out who God wants you to be, because that means you want to be talking to him. Thank you, Deborah.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Cynthia? Oh, Lord. Hello? Anyway, let's see here.
I'm here, Dr. B.
I'm here.
Okay.
I was just chuckling at what you and Deborah were saying, because the Lord just led me to he reminded me of a story of from the Bernstein Bears. And this lady, Kimberly, she shares this story and how while she was driving to the chapel in the woods, this is the Bernstein Bears, guys. You got to have an imagination for this, so you got to have an imagination. But Mama shows the cubs the different faces of motherhood throughout the neighborhood. The cubs are surprised to find out that mothers are everywhere and that they come in different shapes, sizes, and professions. Not only does mothers look different for everyone, the love they receive from their families is just as varied. And this is a lesson in which Mother Bear could have taught me when I was younger. And this is her story. And she talks about that. This lady, Kimberly, talks about how she had formed her opinion about her mother raising her and how she raised her, because she was comparing her mother to all the other mothers. So she had this imagination of her mother being like somebody else, somebody else's mother. And so she grew to have resentment about her own mother. And so we have to be careful when we start to compare our mothers to other mothers, because it takes imagination to put your mother in the shoes of somebody else's mother. And so when we don't have, when it don't come, as Dr. Fletcher gave us those three words, thoughts, and reality, it's not your reality. It's not who your mother is. And so when we start to compare our mothers to other mothers, it takes a great imagination to pretend that your mother is somebody that she's not. I did it for years. I imagined my relationship being with my mother. So, and it just never came true. But for me to be content and be able to accept my mother for who she is, I had to imagine her for who she is. I had to see her for who she is. And so the three scriptures that was given to me was 2 Corinthians 10:5, as Dr. Fletcher gave, and 1 Corinthians 2:9. He said that, you know, we have our own imagination, but God said that if you just ask me, I will show you things that your eyes have never seen, ears that your ears have never heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. And that goes for motherhood. Every mother is different. Every relationship is different. But our imagination can get us in trouble, or it can allow us the vision that God has for us, because God is very instructional. And the other verse that he gave me was Proverbs 29:18, saying, where there is no vision, as Dr. Fletcher mentioned, that people perish. Vision or the imagination produces, I'm sorry, images produces your imagination, which gives us hope for a future. Without it, you will not fulfill God's plan for your life. So, yes, we can imagine what we want in a relationship, mothers and daughters. But there is a reality of what that relationship is. And God tells us, mothers and daughters, as far as you can, you be the best person that you can be in the relationship. Because when you don't go back to God, when we don't turn back to him and get his instructions and imagine us ourselves being better, then we will never be what he wants us to be. And that's what 29:18 is saying. If you can't imagine being better, then you won't be better in your personal life, in your relationship with your mother. You just won't. And you have to ask God, because one thing about our Father, he is very instructional. And so, God, you have to ask, how can I change? I need your direction. I asked. And so we have to also ask God, what is the discouragement and the frustration that we experience when we can't have what we see in our mind eye. Maybe it's not what God will have you. Maybe it's not the relationship that you think you should have with your mother, but you have the perfect relationship with your mother because God is trying to teach us something with or without that person being who you want them to be. Because, see, God created them, and only he can change them if we seek him for his direction for our lives. And so it is just so important, guys. So my prayer here is just, dear Lord, I acknowledge that you have created in us a reality and an unrealistic expectation. And sometimes our expectation and our imagination causes us to be discontent. And I'm so convinced if you ask him, he will, as Dr. Fletcher has pointedly said, he will give you the understanding you need to accept your mother and your daughter for who they are. And it's not until we can imagine ourselves better that we can imagine somebody else being better. I love, love, love this story about the Bernstein Bears. But we, and as mothers, we have to teach our children to imagine, see the best in people. God created us to be good, but somehow along the way, our imagination takes us out of what God has created us to be. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. Amen. You know, there again, that second Bible verse I had it here to read, didn't read it, but he gave it to you. I said, Lord, you are definitely in this mix. You are definitely in this mix. And then the Lord was showing me, too, how we get mixed up as a people. We turn from him and his word to television, to radio, to different medias, social media, listening to different people. When you get a lot of different opinions and hearing a lot of things that, you know, seeing a lot of things on television, you get all that mixed up. What type of recipe are you creating? Because then your imagination can go wild. You know, when I deal with people, when I was in the mental health, working in a mental health facility, I would tell them, there's no such thing as mental health. Because God said to me, did I say anything about mental health in the Bible? Can you find that in there? And it hit me. And after all these years of study, after all of the education, I'd never heard anybody say there was no such thing as mental health. He said, I call it spirit of infirmities. And when you call it that, it covers whatever it may think it is. So your imagination don't have to. If you say spirit of infirmities, you just imagine. You can't even imagine what that is. But if somebody say cancer, and then they give you 10 different kinds of cancer, and you start thinking, you may settle on one of those cancers and believe that it's real because my mother had it, my sister had it, whatever. And you set your imagination on that, and the next thing you know, you go to the doctor, and he tells you that you have cancer. I had a client, and I'm going to say this right quick because we run out of time. I had a client where her mother, four sisters, all had breast cancer. And she was like a little rat in a cage with a big snake, waiting on just going to the doctor every 6 weeks, going to the doctor, waiting on her, the doctor to tell her that she had breast cancer. And when someone sent it to me, I told her, I said, you're going to have to stop it because, see, you're using your imagination to create. And it wasn't until we got her out of changing her imagination. She never did get breast cancer because she said her sisters, they were all saying, well, mama had it, so I know I'm going to have it because the statistics say I'm supposed to have it. And it wasn't until she changed her mind
The doctor kept telling her, I don't want you to come back here another 6 weeks now. This is crazy. Because you are imagining something that is not there, but it will come upon you. Even Job told us that. So mothers and daughters out there, be careful what you look at. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you spend your time with. Because they will add to your imagination. And then what you will experience was not anything that God had planned for you, but you took it from somebody else. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, mothers and daughters, that's our show. Thank you, ladies. As always, I just thank the Holy Spirit for the two of you. We do good together. Y'all have a blessed day.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Love
you guys. Bye-bye. Audience, just be who God wants you to be. Thank you. Amen, ladies. I love y'all. Love you all.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.